And welcome to Stop the Presses. I'm your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live April 1st, no fooling, 2019. And my guest today is a friend of mine from the UK, and I've watched his work for quite a while, Ian R. Crane. And Ian has watched and taken action regarding the fracking issue and a number of other matters that we'll talk about today. And he also has a conference he puts on, Alternative View. This year, it's Alternative View 10. And there's a lineup of speakers and subjects. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Are you out there, Ian?
I am indeed, Mark. And thanks for the invitation to join you this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Afternoon here in South Texas. But universally, we're talking about, of course, human liberty and many other things, economic freedom, and many other things that we seek, but our leaders are often denying us. Now, Ian, the really hot button issues that you've been posting videos about include this matter involving Big Pharma and the Crown Court there. And I wanted to touch on that real quick because I think that's still a pretty hot issue. I think there's still some sizzle in that. And what is the latest with that?
Okay, well, what we're talking about here is GC Math. That's GC and then Math, M-A-F. And this is actually an extremely effective cancer treatment that was developed about 25 years ago. But because it is so effective and actually has efficacy that would suggest that it can be incredibly effective, even up to curing stage 4 cancers. But beyond that, it had actually been used in the US to by a Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet, who I'm sure is a name that's known by many of your listeners, who was treating autism with GC-MAF with some remarkable results. Anyway, the primary development of GC-MAF was for the purpose of treating cancer. But obviously, the pharmaceutical industry makes an enormous amount of money from chemo and radiotherapy, which are effectively the only orthodox allopathic treatments offered to cancer sufferers. And obviously, this revenue has been increasing exponentially as more and more people contract some form of cancer. And perhaps what people don't realize is that everybody has cancer in their body. But the body's natural immune system deals with it on a sort of literally an ongoing basis. But when the immune system starts to fail, and it can fail, obviously, for many, many different reasons. But when it starts to fail, then unfortunately, that's when the cancer develops. So GC-MAF, a proven, very effective treatment. Big Pharma didn't like it. So Big Pharma did everything it possibly could to shut it down. And in the UK, we had a guy by the name of David Noakes, who was actually a banker. And when he realized that this product was effectively being suppressed by Big Pharma, he decided that this just wasn't acceptable, and he gave up his career in banking and invested his money in developing this product. And he teamed up with a biochemist, and they developed this product initially on Guernsey, an island just off the southern coast of the UK. And although he was selling it around the world, but he treated 141 people on Guernsey free of charge. But even though he was only operating for a couple of years, the regulatory body in the UK, the equivalent of the FDA, in the UK it's the MHRA, the Medicines and Healthcare Regulatory Authority, and they literally, unilaterally, without any third-party oversight, raided his premises 4 years ago and shut down the laboratories, shut down the production facility, and obviously shut down the distribution network, and then proceeded to try and put a case together which was based upon the production and distribution of an unlicensed medicine. And what was really very telling was in the courts, the judge made it very clear that the efficacy of GC-MAF wasn't on trial, that, you know, what was on trial was the fact that a product was being produced but that was unlicensed. And the judge went overboard to make it clear, and he said in his summing up before sentencing David Noakes, that he had no doubt that many people had benefited from GC Math and that many people would benefit in the future. But unfortunately, as he also stated, it wasn't a court of morality, it was a court of law. And the law is obviously written in favour of Big Pharma. In fact, it's the 1939 Cancer Act in UK legislation, which literally prevents anyone from suggesting that there is any form of effective treatment for cancer other than chemo and radiotherapy. So that's an act that's 79 years old. And unfortunately it's 80 years old now, of course, and is still unfortunately valid to this day. So one of the things that came out in the trial was that one of David Noakes's biggest customers was Jeffrey Bradstreet in the US, who had discovered that GC Math was remarkably effective in dealing with autism. And in fact, he actually appeared before the Senate, where he stated that, you know, he was treating children with extreme, or young people with extreme autism, to the extent where they couldn't be educated in the state school system. And literally after a relatively short course of GC Math, they were actually able to communicate and interact with normal society. But the day after the MHRA raided David Noakes's premises in the UK with it was armed police, they got the FDA to raid Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet's premises in the US. And the following day, Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet was found face down with a bullet wound in his chest in a river in South Carolina. And of course, this was labeled as suicide. But this is the extent to which the pharmaceutical industry will go to protect their outrageously lucrative revenue streams from effectively killing people with radio and chemotherapy.
It's an astounding story to hear. That's 4 years ago. Bring us up to date now. What has this brought about legally? What have the latest court hearings sought to determine? What has been the fate of Mr. Noakes? We already heard about the fate of Mr. Bradstreet, a very sad thing to hear. And I was not actually aware of what had happened to him. But what's going on with Mr. Noakes lately?
Well, currently he's in jail. He actually should be released on an electronic tag. But it seems that, you know, the state machinery is dragging its heels and doesn't want David Noakes back, you know, this side of the prison walls.
When was he sentenced? I don't mean to interject, but when was he sentenced, and what was he sentenced to, and how long? What was the penalty?
Okay, he was sentenced to 12 months in jail for manufacturing and distributing unlicensed medicine. Now, this was much, much lighter than the MHRA were seeking. They were seeking an 8-year sentence. So, you know, you can stab somebody in the UK and, walk away with a suspended sentence. But you cure somebody from cancer and the state mechanism looks for an 8-year sentence. Well, fortunately, the judge, realized that he had a moral quandary to deal with here. So he gave David Noakes the minimum sentence that he felt he could without it being appealed. So he gave him 12 months for the manufacture and distribution of an unlicensed medicine and a further 3 months for money laundering, which simply means basically making money from something that's not legal. So that's 15 months total. And under UK law, you would normally serve one quarter of that sentence in jail, another quarter on tag, and then the remaining half on license, basically, which means that providing you don't offend again, then you're free. But David is still in jail. Now, his partner and former biochemist, who was obviously instrumental in helping ensure the purity of the product, because it was pure. I mean, we're not talking about something here that, you know, caused anyone any harm. I mean, there were minor side effects, but nobody died, which of course isn't the case with normal pharmaceutical products. In fact, it's estimated in the US some 200,000 people die every year from properly prescribed pharmaceuticals. It doesn't even begin to account for the number who unfortunately pass as a result of improperly prescribed pharmaceutical products. But so nobody died, and obviously there was testimony, but the courts did everything they could to limit the testimony of people who benefited from this product. But the biochemist was not charged in the UK. In fact, the UK authorities basically obviously decided that there wasn't enough evidence to charge her. So what they did was they got the French to charge her. So for the last 2 years, she's been facing the prospect of extradition to France and to face charges in France, similar to that which David Noakes faced in the UK. And by the way, David Noakes isn't out of the woods, because the moment that David comes out of jail, the French are going to initiate extradition proceedings against him too. And this is really the pharmaceutical industry using its henchmen, which is like the FDA and the MHRA and Oselep in France, to effectively ensure that nobody ever develops a product that can challenge their dominion, and particularly their revenue streams, when it comes to chemo and radiotherapy.
What is the name of the biochemist? I didn't catch her name.
Lynn Thayer, Thyer.
Okay, how far into his sentence is Mr. Noakes? How far along is that 15 months?
Well, he's completed 4 months. So that's why he's now due to be released on electronic tag. So he served one quarter in jail, and now the next quarter he should be able to serve on electronic tag, but he's still in jail as we speak right now. And Lynn Thayer, her appeal hearing against her extradition was heard last week in London, but the judge decided that he's going to consider the evidence and then issue a written judgment sometime in the coming weeks.
Where did the French get the jurisdiction to extradite?
Well, on the basis that the product was obviously being sold in France, and in fact there were people not related to David and Lynn actually selling a similar product, not the same product, but a similar product. It was a GC-MAF cream, so it was applied externally. But what the French have decided they want to do, and obviously this is in collusion with the MHRA, is prosecute the people who were manufacturing and distributing this GC-MAF cream in France, along with David Noakes and Lynn Thayer. Now, what evidence they've got, I don't know, because obviously the case hasn't come to court. But, I mean, this is an illustration, and I mean, obviously, I'm sure many of your listeners are very well aware of the, you know, very, very sad demise of many alternative health practitioners in the US, particularly those who develop effective treatments for cancer.
Yeah, many of them found dead, sometimes entire families killed, I understand. Sometimes the reports are a little bit sketchy, but if you add it all up, even if half of them were a little off base, you still have a large death toll with the actual researcher or doctor in question, and family members oftentimes being found dead in mysterious circumstances. Very, very, very disturbing. What recourse is there for listeners live and on the archive? I do promote this show afterwards through social media to British audiences as well as American audiences. I send the link all over to friends here and abroad. What recourse, if any, or what action, if any, can people take right now regarding what's going on?
Well, first of all, let's look at the situation. I mean, it is reported that one in every three people in the supposed developed world will at some point in their life contract some form of cancer. That number is forecast to increase to one in two people by 2025, and it's forecast that everyone will contract or develop some form of cancer in their lifetime by the year 2040. So the reality is that everyone knows someone, whether it's somebody in their immediate family or a friend or a colleague, But everyone knows someone who either has or, you know, is has recovered or is recovering, supposedly, or is suffering from some form of cancer. And the reality is that the pharmaceutical industry is doing everything it can, and I would suggest that this is in collusion with the deep state, but they are doing everything they can to ensure that once somebody contracts cancer, the vast majority of them will effectively die as a result of that cancer. Or if they don't die as a result of the cancer, they will die as a result of the chemo and radiotherapy, which in many cases actually accelerates the cancer. And, you know, if anybody goes along to get a diagnosis because they are having some discomfort, and then once the scans are completed and once the cancer is effectively formally diagnosed by your doctor, then the only offer is of radio or chemotherapy. I mean, you know, allopathic doctors in the UK are not even permitted under the 1939 Cancer Act to even suggest that modifying someone's diet at their health. And I mean, you know, it is well known within the alternative community of people who do their own research that cancer feeds on sugar. So, you know, once you are diagnosed with cancer, one of the first things that you absolutely need to do is minimize to the point of complete removal, if at all possible, of all sugar from your diet. Now, that's very, very difficult to do, but most people can make a massive inroad in reducing their intake of sugar. The other thing, obviously, is to alkalize the body. And I mean, there's many ways in which this can be done, but one of the most simple ways is to have a liter of water with half a lemon squeezed into it, and to literally sip that through the day. Now, this is counterintuitive, but the reality is that sipping that lemon water through the day has the effect of alkalizing the body. So, you know, towards reducing the speed at which the cancer is spread. But ultimately, if you deny the food that the cancer craves, which is primarily sugar, then you can effectively starve it. And, you know, there are many, many, many examples of people who have put the effort in, done their own research, developed their own protocol, and have not only lived to tell the story, but have then become instrumental in sort of helping other people who are prepared to walk away from the allopathic advice and try something a little bit different. And of course, I haven't even touched on cannabis oil. And, you know, one of the well-established aspects of cannabis, and not just the I'm talking full strength cannabis.
We got we got about one more minute, Ian, before the first break. But absolutely, and I would add detoxification to that list. My understanding, if you add that in, you've got a pretty good protocol.
Absolutely. Detoxing, of course, is absolutely crucial. So the reality is there's a lot of things that people can do that Big Pharma doesn't want them to know about, because, you know, there's no money in people getting well. And in fact, Goldman Sachs last year issued a report which stated that there's no money in health. It's best to keep people in a state of sickness.
And on that note, we'll be right back with more from Ian R. Crane here on Stop the Presses.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Returning to Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson here, the 1st of April, 2019. Like I said earlier, no fooling. And we're not fooling around today with some very serious medical-related matters. My guest, Ian R. Crane of the UK, well-known for fracking research and activism, and also in health matters and other matters. And we've been talking about the fate of one David. It's David Noakes, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Make sure I get my name straight here. Yes, his situation. But once again, just to remind the listeners and myself, what is the current status with the biochemist again, real quickly?
She is on the cusp of being extradited to France. She's had the final court hearing. This was her appeal against the original ruling that she should be extradited. And we'll know by within the next sort of 2-3 weeks whether or not her appeal has been successful. But as I said earlier, you know, when David Noakes is released from jail, then the French authorities are going to seek his extradition. But Mark, you know, what we're talking about here is really the Codex Alimentarius agenda. And this is something that's been really going on since the 1960s. And this is the Codex Alimentarius is the global food code. And
yes.
Basically, what we have with this is the corporatist agenda to eradicate all natural farming, which has pretty much been done in the US now. There's almost no organic farming in the US. And even when products are labeled organic in the US under absurd US rules, a product can have 10% contamination and still be classified as organic. In Europe, anything above 0.16% contamination, and it cannot be labelled as organic. So Codex Alimentarius is double-pronged. It's the quest to eradicate all natural farming and replace it effectively, ultimately, with GMO, and the quest to eradicate all natural health care so that the pharmaceutical industry, in fact, effectively has total dominion. And, of course, these are fundamentally against human rights. But, you know, as I'm sure your listeners realize, then the US is not a nation state. The US is a corporatocracy. And this is, unfortunately, Europe and the UK are not far behind, but a little bit behind. But in the US, you know, the corporation has absolute dominion. And you see that, and I mean, there's cases in Texas, of course, where, changing the subject briefly, but, you know, the fracking industry has contaminated people's water in Texas, along with other states. But the courts have ruled that the corporations have absolute priority for abstraction of water over local residents. And, you know, it doesn't matter that the local residents in some places in Texas haven't had water coming out of their faucets for many years. They've had to rely on bottled water because the abstraction of water for the purposes of fracking, the abstraction of unconventional hydrocarbons, that takes absolute priority. And, you know, if people are not able to access the basic human right of fresh water, then that's just tough.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Ian. In the second half of the show, we're going to come up to a break in about 3 minutes or a little less, and there's a short break at the bottom of the hour. Then we have another long segment, and we sail on pretty much from there. I'll indicate how things go as we go along, but it's very true. I'm living in South Texas, and I go through a lot of the fracking areas in the hill country around the east and west side of San Antonio and up around Gonzales, Texas, and Seguin, Texas. And of course, Halliburton has a major new outpost built on the southeast side of San Antonio that I've photographed and went by many times. And it is a very deep-seated thing. The high-pressured water that they use to knock the shale oil out of the bedrock and things like that. I know that you followed this a lot. Again, we'll talk about it more in the second half of the show. But when we get into the second half, we can describe not only AV10 and what's going on there, but we can talk about your fracking activism efforts, especially in the UK. But I appreciate you've been following them here in the States.
We also need to talk 5G. So, I mean, the three issues, you know, in addition to the conference, but the three fundamental existential issues that humanity is facing right now are obviously the pharmaceutical industry, the unconventional gas industry, and very few people perhaps understand or comprehend the magnitude of the threat that is unfolding as a result of unconventional gas abstraction. The rollout of 5G, military, microwave technology.
Yes, very critical. I'm glad that you remembered that. It's a lot of ground to cover. We'll be right back to cover that ground after these messages.
Such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Returning to Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson coming to you live April 1st, 2019. My guest, Ian R. Crane. We've talked about Big Pharma and the battle in the UK regarding that. And we've talked a little bit about other matters, particularly fracking. And we're going to get into that a little more, along with 5G and the AB10 conference that Ian helps put on. First, some quick announcements. This coming Wednesday, April 3rd, Justin Walker of the British Constitution Group and the New Chartist Movement will have some very interesting things to say in the wake of what looks to be Brexit's failure or defeat. It just doesn't simply look like it's going to happen. It's either nothing at all or it's Brexit without an exit. But he's going to talk about the New Chartist Movement and some important monetary and other reforms that he envisions with the New Chartist Movement. The movement itself has some very interesting history. That's Justin Walker this coming Wednesday, April 3rd. This coming Friday is not fully scheduled yet. A week from today, Monday, April 8th, guest host Dr. Laura Presley is expected to fill in for me that day to talk more about her expertise with True Texas Elections LLC in defeating electronic voting and getting an honest vote count. So for the first time in its history, America could have honest elections. Imagine that. Now, returning to today's guest, Ian Crane. Ian, you brought up a very important reminder there about 5G. I just wanted to make a final comment about the Big Pharma matter and naturopathic and homeopathic alternative treatments and the role of nutrition. I've been into this quite a bit myself. I've written about it, looked into it. I've practiced a lot of it, and it's very clear. I just went with a loved one to the doctor the other day and accompanied her in there, and I hadn't been inside a allopathic doctor's office in like 15 years. And I was just sitting there watching him go through his regimen, and everything he did was steering us toward pharmaceutical drugs. He talked about things that weren't even the reason why we were there. We were there for a very specific reason. Most of what he talked about had nothing to do with that. It seemed like a sales job for pharmaceuticals. And on top of that, I've been to a number of funerals, cancer victims, and almost everybody's admitting now, or at least under their breath, they're saying this person really didn't die of cancer. They died of chemo. And I'm hearing that more and more, even from people I wouldn't expect to hear it from. I think there is an awakening here. I just wanted to kind of put that capstone on what you were saying. The awakening is coming. It's just a matter of, will it come fast enough?
That's absolutely the case. And, you know, ultimately, of course, all of these things occur because we, the collective we, allow them to. You know, the corporations and the corporatocracy, i.e. the politicians who work on behalf of the corporations, they absolutely rely on our acquiescence. I mean, our doing nothing to challenge them. And of course, I mean, they use everything they possibly can, you know, from demonizing individuals who put forward evidence counter to the lamestream narrative, up to and including extreme force, as in the case of Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet.
Yeah, it's very unnerving and very, very disturbing that people would resort to that just to protect one branch of medicine. And as many of us know, the Rockefellers were instrumental in converting all the medical schools to purely allopathic. And any kind of teaching credential or accredited school that had to do with alternative treatments, naturopathy and whatnot, were phased out in the early 20th century by the robber barons and the big money, the Rockefellers and whatnot. That's the history of it, but we need not get into that. Now, since it's health related, before we get into AB10, since we're kind of on the topic of health, let's do a little bit more with fracking and 5G. Just summarize briefly your activism about fracking in the UK in particular, and then we can just cruise right into 5G.
Okay, well, let's talk about fracking in the US first of all, because the bulk of your audience is in the US.
That's fine, either way, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Because basically, I mean, once again, the corporations, and particularly the hydrocarbons industry, and primarily thanks to Dick Cheney, former chief executive officer of Halliburton, and then, of course, Vice President George W. Bush. And back in 2005, Cheney introduced a raft of legislation in the U.S., which is known colloquially as the Halliburton loophole. And this is the legislation that effectively gives the oil and gas industry in the U.S. diplomatic immunity from anything associated with contamination. So basically, the hydrocarbons industry in the U.S. can contaminate water, soil, and air, which it does on a ongoing and extreme basis, and is not likely to suffer any legal recourse at all. And the reality is that, you know, you have to be a sociopath to work in the oil and gas industry, particularly in the US. And if you say, well, I'm just doing a job, I'm just doing it to keep a roof over my head and food over on the table, which is, you know, certainly at the lower levels in the organization, what people are doing. But nonetheless, they have to enter into cognitive dissonance. Because if they had any kind of moral compass, then they would either try and challenge what the companies are doing, or they would leave and find other employment. But of course, the oil and gas industry generally pays quite well. And it's amazing how people can descend into cognitive dissonance and literally shut themselves off from the extremes and the extreme impact of that industry in return for the salary check. So, let's just talk Texas even. Let's really nail it down. In Texas, I mean, the area that you drive through is the northeastern edge of the Eagle Ford shale play, which runs right down into the southwestern edge of Texas. And then up around the Dallas area, you've got the Barnett Shale. And communities who have the misfortune to be located right above the Eagle Ford and the Barnett Shale plays will know very, very well the magnitude of the problems, the negative health impact, the impact on their water, the impact on the soil, the impact on the agricultural industry, as a result of this industry. And in fact, I mean, I'll tell you what, there's just one book that I would absolutely recommend. And it's a book actually was written 7 years ago by a husband and wife team, Robert Oswald and Michelle Bamberger, who actually started life as an academic paper. But then they realized that, you know, no one's going to read an academic paper. So they had it edited into a book form. And it's called The Real Cost of Fracking. And you know, the other element of the fracking industry is not only the contamination as a result of the phenomenal injection under extreme pressure of water, but that water isn't just water. It's heavily laced with extremely toxic chemicals to break up the shale and allow the gas to flow to the surface. But it also generates massive amounts of waste, including radioactive waste, i.e. Radioactive, naturally occurring radioactive materials that are brought to the surface. And the industry is very glib in presenting naturally occurring radioactive materials on the basis it's naturally occurring. Well, that doesn't mean it's safe. And actually, in the US, you're running out of places to dispose of this waste. You know, in the early days of fracking, because this industry has only been around for a little over two decades, in the early days, then evaporation ponds were used where the waste was literally dumped into an evaporation pit alongside the wellhead. And it just evaporated over time, particularly in the southern states, into the atmosphere. And that, of course, contaminated the air and the rain. So that wasn't enough because they were fracking so much that there was too much waste to put in pits. So then they started, well, number one, dumping it in the Gulf of Mexico. And in fact, Trump has just signed off an approval for 74 billion gallons or tons of frack waste to be dumped in the Gulf of Mexico. But it's being dumped down disused wells in Oklahoma, which is why Oklahoma has become the earthquake capital of the US in the space of a decade. So Oklahoma, which is or was geologically stable, is now the earthquake capital thanks to the phenomenal volume of frack waste being pumped down disused wells in Oklahoma. And all this is a matter of public record. I'm not sharing anything that isn't easily accessed, you know, by from a cursory search. But then more concerning still, in California, the frack waste is being used for immigration, for irrigation. And, you know, there are a number of companies who actually brag that they are using frack waste for contamination, although it's as though it's a good thing. But I mean, I wouldn't touch produce that has been even grown above or in the vicinity of a fracked oil or gas well, let alone produce that has been irrigated with contaminated radioactive frack waste. And, you know, unfortunately, the corporatocracy in the US absolutely relies on people, you know, just wanting to keep their nose to the grindstone, earn their salary check, and, you know, turn a blind eye to what's occurring. Now, fortunately, thanks to the evidence of this abomination in the US, in Canada, and more recently in Australia, in the UK, although we're not out of the woods yet, but we have succeeded in getting fracking banned in Scotland, in Wales, in Northern Ireland, and in the Republic of Ireland. But we're still you know, trying to find the silver bullet, if you like, to get it shut down in England. But nonetheless, we have only ever had one well that has been fracked as per the design specification in the UK, and that was in 2011. That triggered seismic events, nothing compared to what's triggered in California almost on a day, in Oklahoma almost on a daily basis. But nonetheless, because we're a small island, densely populated, 60 million people, you know, living on an island that, you know, fits into Texas about four times over. So, you know, that population density has been an asset for us in terms of developing community activism, you know, where communities have got together. Yes. And resisted the corporations' attempts to rock up, put a well up, drill down, and then frack.
So the U.S. is at the distinct advantage of having so much open frontier where there just isn't a lot of physical presence of people, and that gives them a leg up, and they can lay a real cornerstone. And then you have the corporatocracy and the almost absolute power of the corporations. That is definitely a disadvantage in terms of stopping things like fracking. Now, switching over to 5G, we've got about 15 minutes left in the show, and we got quite a bit of material and announcements to go through. Here's a good way to segue. Is that same population density and activism and resistance that you've brought to bear against fracking, do you foresee that having a chance to work against the 5G rollout?
Absolutely, Mark. And the community activism that has evolved from the resistance to fracking has effectively provided us with the template which we now are spreading across the rest of the country, because fracking targeted about 30% of the UK, most of it being in the north of England. 5G, of course, will target everybody. Nobody escapes. And this is military microwave technology that is being rolled out without proper testing, without regulation, onto a very unsuspecting civilian population. And already in the UK, areas that have been designated as 5G test beds, we're witnessing increases in teens self-harming, increases in teen suicide, because the reason it's primarily youth and teens is because the developing physical vehicle is much more susceptible to these pernicious microwave frequencies than the adult physical vehicle. Now, that's not to say that adults are immune, not at all, but some may have than others. But the reality is that this is a big part of why it is that it's estimated that, within the next couple of decades, everyone will contract some form of cancer in their life. But it is also the military, and people are not joining the dots. It's the American military, it's the British military, Canadian military, Australian military. All of our militaries are experiencing phenomenal increases in PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And of course, people say, oh, well, that's related obviously to their battlefield experience. But these ex-servicemen and women are suffering PTSD, and yet many of them were never anywhere near frontline action. But they were very much involved and in some cases directly attached to microwave battlefield technology. And this is what is believed to trigger the PTSD, the depression, the self-harming, and the suicides. Now, there's other factors that also come into account. I mean, I still remember, of course, the Gulf War syndrome, which was not properly investigated and, probably triggered by a combination of exposure to depleted uranium, plus the vaccination program that all servicemen and women went through before they went over to Kuwait in the first Gulf War.
I have a little bit of experience with that. They finally named it Gulf War illness. They admitted depleted uranium. They admitted some of the vaccines, some of the insecticides to keep the desert fleas away, and the burning of military waste and the burning of the oil wells. All of that was acknowledged, but it was more of a pat on the back, more of a perfunctory thing. Nothing really tangible or substantial was done with that acknowledgement. And that's been about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah. And obviously, the way the corporatocracy works is it doesn't want any investigation into these things. It just wants to keep kicking the can down the road, because whilst there's no investigation, then there's nothing that actually sort of points to the dangers. And this is borne out with 5G. And there's a remarkable piece of footage of Tom Wheeler, the former chairman of the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. And this is from, I think, about 3 years ago. And in the video, he actually states, he says, you know, that 5G is crucial to our economy, and we need to roll it out and not wait for the standards. You know, so here is an admission that, you know, here's the corporatocracy saying, you know what, we're just not going to wait until this is properly tested. We're not going to wait for the regulations to emerge. We're going to roll it out and then, you know, worry about it afterwards. And then it's a bit like sort of tobacco. So, you know, you get everybody smoking, and only when they're smoking do you say, oh, you know what, there's some pretty serious health concerns here. But it's too late because, you know, people are addicted to it. Well, you know, 5G, the reason they need 5G...
I was going to ask you that, yes.
Yeah, well, it's not because, you know, people can download a full-length feature film any quicker than they can right now with 4G. They need 5G for the Internet of Things. And, of course, this is where literally every product produced will have embedded in it a microchip or nanochip with its own unique IP address, so that literally everything can be tracked. I mean, this is surveillance as per 1984 on acid. But, you know, this shouldn't come as any great surprise, because what's happening, Mark, is this is the Technocracy Inc. agenda as drafted by Marion King Hubbard and Howard Scott in 1932. And then as endorsed by Zbigniew Brzezinski in his 1969 book published in 1970 called Between Two Ages, The Technotronic Era. And Technocracy Inc. document is now becoming increasingly difficult to find, but it's still relatively easy to download the PDF of Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, The Technotronic, a word he created, The Technotronic Control Grid.
Yes.
And, you know, here he talks about a technocratic elite that, in fact, he goes as far as to say that this technocratic elite will not be constrained by traditional liberal values. And what he's actually saying there is that once this technology exists, then, you know, basically control of the plantation, control of the slaves on the plantation will be absolute. And, you know, this was envisioned back in 1932 by Scott and King Hubbard. And now, of course, you know, nearly 90 years later, we have, or they have, the technology to roll this surveillance agenda out. And the problem is, of course, that these frequencies are carcinogenic. You know, the microwave frequencies will have an impact on water molecules. And in fact, there are academic studies from the UK. The University of Surrey has a report which makes it very clear that trees with leaves on, and trees with leaves with water on the leaves, are a major problem for 5G frequency, which is why over the last 3 years, over 100,000 trees have been culled in urban areas to create line of sight opportunity for 5G transmission.
My goodness.
And this is ongoing. And by the way, it's the same in the US. It's the same in the USA. In California, which has been a 5G testbed, right. You've now got communities, and in Oregon, I believe, as well, you've now got communities actually stepping up to the plate and actively resisting the further rollout of 5G technology.
Not a moment too soon either. I'm going to have to look into those resistance efforts out west, Oregon, California, and elsewhere. The information you brought forth today, Ian, is very comprehensive, very cohesive, very clear, and it provides a good roadmap to connect the dots and take action. And the way you took action and helped things along in pushing back on fracking in the greater United Kingdom, including Ireland, is to be lauded, very much admired. And I appreciate that very much. Now, I hope listeners live and on the archive can take this information, find your area of influence, whether it's alternative medicine and chemo treatments and fighting against that, whether it's 5G, whether it's fracking, whether it's vaccines and or related matters. I would imagine a quick question, Ian, before we talk about AV10 real quick, we only got a couple minutes. A quick question is, normal healthy groundwater supplies are going to be adversely affected by fracking, I would think, to a very large extent. People's wells that...
I mean, the U.S. Aquifers are being destroyed. I mean, California already has a problem in terms of potable water. By the way, it's not just the US. I mean, in Australia, the Great Artesian Basin is being depleted and contaminated at a rate of knots that is going to cause Australia massive problems within a generation or so.
And it makes you wonder about the Ogallala Aquifer, the huge one in this, right in the middle of the U.S., Nebraska, yeah, and seven or eight other states. We have only a few minutes, Ian Crane. Let's get into AV10. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it's May 10 through 13 this year. And go ahead and tell where it's at and confirm the date.
AV10, I mean, obviously, you can tell from the name, it's the 10th Alternative View event. And, you know, we bring speakers in from all over the world to show people in the UK that what's occurring in the UK is actually part of a globalist agenda. And, you know, so that people don't get persuaded that, you know, what's unfolding is just unique to the UK. And this year, I mean, we have Deborah Tavares and Benny Wills coming in from the US. I think many of your listeners will be familiar with Deborah's work. And one speaker that I'm really looking forward to hearing is David Dubine, who's an American, but he's flying in from Taiwan. And he's going to be speaking on the coming ice age and the impact that the real climate change is going to have on agriculture. And, you know, this is something that, you know, really people need to take account of. It is very, very different from the climate change or anthropogenic climate change agenda being driven by the UN. And then David actually is flying to a conference immediately after AV10 in Colorado. Now, I know many of your listeners in the US are not going to be able to obviously come over to AV10. Well, they couldn't anyway because it's sold out. But we are, for the first time, making the conference available on live stream on a global basis.
That's what I heard. And how do you do that real quick?
Okay, well, if people, they can sign up for a weekend ticket, so you will have access, and it's going to be HD quality transmission. But people can sign up for a weekend access to every presentation throughout the 3 days of the conference. That's the Saturday, the 11th, Sunday, the 12th, and Monday, the 13th of May. And if they can sign up for a weekend live stream ticket by going to the Alternative View website, which is Alternative View, all one word, alternativeview.co.uk.
Alternativeview.co.uk, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, thanks, Ian R. Crane, for being on the show here on Stop the Presses. This coming Wednesday, Justin Walker of the new Chartist movement. You're going to want to hear about that, how to really transcend Brexit and make the UK and greater Europe a better place. And we'll see you next time on Stop the Presses. I'm Mark Anderson.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.